Thank you. Good morning again. Welcome to Sanctuary. It's good to be in the household of God, and I'm excited to end our sermon series on Galatians. I love this book, and I hope you have too. If you can go back and just reread it and just have it just speak to you. There's so much that's encouraging in it, and our freedom in Christ, and I don't want to review the whole book, but just what Paul is just telling them to just get a hold of that freedom they have in Christ and stop worrying about the details and the working towards salvation, but trust God. Trust in that faith that you have in a Savior who died for your sins. All the things that we sang about this morning, that we have this Savior who took the sins of the world. You know, when we celebrate Easter because it's a miraculous thing that we have a Savior who was resurrected from the dead that took the sins of the world upon the cross. And not only the sins up until that day, but the sins that we would commit even now, right? Jesus went to the cross knowing our name and that the salvation is available to us. But we have this freedom in Christ because of what he has done. And so Paul brings the close to this letter in this short chapter in chapter 6. And if you want to read along in your Bible or on your Bible app, today I'm reading from the NIV, I believe. I didn't go back to the message. Yep, I have my NIV if you wanted to follow along. Do you have a Bible? We're going to get you a kid's Bible. Right, my friend? Okay. You can follow along in my book if you want. Here we go. It goes like this. Can you see? We're going to read from Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, that's it, from the nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please his spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And he goes on in verse 11, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. I love things like that that come up in scripture where you go, why is that in there? You know, and there's a reason for it that gives that personal, you know, Paul is definitely writing this letter, and either he has now moved on from his scribe, right? Paul had a scribe as well, so maybe he's going, now I'm writing with my own hand, and look at these big old letters compared to my scribe, who was nice and tidy. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit, brothers. And the last word is, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this word and that we can just take it and let it resonate in our spirits today, God. There's so much to be gleaned. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we hear the truths of your word, God, that our lives would be transformed by that. We know that your word is living and alive and can just be efficacious in our lives to make us new. And so, God, we claim it, we walk in it, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. I like to garden. I don't know if I like the weeding part so much as I like the gardening part. And I like to plant things, and I like to design gardens, and I like to walk around the spring and see what's blooming, because in the spring, everything is new. Amen? Everything is new. There's an opportunity to see what God is bringing forth from the earth. And I want to talk about a couple of things in my backyard. The first one is called a bush that my mother gave me when she moved away. She moved from her house that I had grown up in Drake it and moved to a condo. And in so doing, she upplanted some of these things that she had had all along. And she goes, I want you to take these with you because I don't want them to stay here because I'm moving. And a couple of those things were rose bushes, and one of them was this bush called a mock orange. At least that's what she calls it. I really don't know what its official name is, but it's called a mock orange bush. And so we put these things in the back of Tom's truck in a bucket and drove from Drake to Ashby and then tried to figure out where to put them. Where are we going to put these things around our home? My mother had a very specific location, but I had to look around and say, where am I going to put this thing? And so I took this small root of a bush and planted it on the north side of my house, protected up against the wall, getting some great sun in the afternoon. And I said, that'll be a great place for this bush. And so there it has sat since I planted it. Now, I know that when it was at my mother's house, it continued to bloom these beautiful white flowers each and every year that smelled amazing. But yet, at my house, my little mock orange bush didn't produce much. It was still alive. I could tell it was still alive every year. And every spring and every summer, I'd walk around and go, what's the matter with you, little bush? You're not doing anything. Did I kill you? Did I plant you in the wrong place? What am I doing? And I would, you know, clean around it and loosen the soil around it and hope that the roots would take. Now we're talking, this is now 5 years. And every year I would say, little bush, how come you're not blooming, little bush? And yet, guess what happened this past summer? My little bush bloomed. And I went, oh, there it is. There are finally all those lovely white flowers. But the thing is, it just needed time. It just needed time. It needed time to put down roots. It needed time to strengthen itself. It needed time to get accustomed to its new location. And it needed seasons to come and go in order to produce fruit on my little mock orange bush. Now, so we have my bush, then I have this little area in my backyard that is kind of like, we have like levels, and when we first moved into the house, we had to do all kinds of work on it. One of them was put in a new septic system, the other was to drill a well, and when we drilled the well, it went down like 500 feet, really, really deep, and all this stuff came up out of the well as they were drilling, and now it's kind of mixed into my soil. So not only do I have New England soil, I have New England soil mixed in with all this stone dust kind of stuff. And every year, I kick it around, and I rake it, and I clean it, and I put grass seed on it. It doesn't grow much. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of, like, putting patio stones out there and just giving up, because it never quite grows. But why is that? What was that? It needs time? Maybe it needs time, but you know what, Justin? I'm thinking the soil's not quite right. Sometimes we sow into an area and the soil is not ready. And there's nothing we can do because it's too rocky, isn't receptive, nothing's actually going to take root because it's just not quite right. So hang tight, that'll all make sense in a minute. So in our spiritual lives, God does the same thing in us. There's some spiritual laws that cannot be ignored. Just as it is with our plantings and our seed, there's spiritual laws that cannot be ignored. And the first one of that is the law of sowing and reaping, which we're going to hear about in Galatians. And I want to read from verse 7 and forward. It says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, the first verse in this whole section is, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. If I read it in the message, it says this, no one makes a fool of God. Do you ever think about that phrase when you say God cannot be mocked? Nobody makes a fool of God. So who here, if I were to ask you, who here goes, oh yeah, I've tried to make a fool of God before. Anybody was going to say yes to that? I'm trying to make a fool of God? Yeah, I would say nobody would say that that's something you're intentionally doing. But I want you to think about it just a minute. Have you ever felt that someone made a fool of you? Maybe you believe one thing about somebody. Maybe you're given the impression about somebody, a truth about somebody that you think to be true. But you found out the real truth later on. And then you say to yourself, ah, they made a fool out of me. I trusted them. I put all of my faith in them. And what they showed me was wrong. It's frustrating, isn't it? Has anybody ever experienced that? You put all your faith in somebody and then just, whoop, they pull the rug out from underneath you. So we would never believe that we're mocking God, right? Making a fool of God. Yet, are there areas in our life that we feel like we're getting away with something? Little free passes that we give ourselves. That whole thing about rating our sins and deciding that our particular sins aren't that bad. Do we really think that God doesn't see? Are we trying to be something we're not? Are we trying to put forth a false persona? Are we trying to be something we're not, and yet we're hiding this stuff underneath? It says that God will not be mocked. There was an old commercial that said, it was, I don't remember the product, but you probably remember it if you're my age or even that around, the woman in the white thing, and she said, "You can't fool Mother Nature." Anybody remember that commercial about the fake butter? Okay. You can't fool God. We might think we can look like fake butter, but the reality of who we are underneath is completely evident to God. And so we need to make sure that what we're sowing, what we're living out, is not false. The law holds, what you reap, you will sow. And it goes on to say, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. All right, so we have been discussing this whole freedom in Christ, right? If I were to say, you are free to do whatever you want, is that true? It's not a trick question. Are you free to do whatever you want? Absolutely, absolutely, right? God gives us free will. We can do whatever we want. But our goal is to be so close to Christ that his desires then become our desires. And the things that you thought you wanted begin to fade away, and the things that God then implants in your heart become your soul's desire, right? Sure, we can do whatever we want, but our goal is to become so close, so focused on what God would have for us, that then he begins to do a heart transplant in our lives, and our desires, our goals become so aligned with God's that they look the same. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping cannot be avoided. Reap the flesh, reap to self, and you reap accordingly. Reap to the Spirit, and eternity is affected. This begins right here on Sunday morning. So let me ask you this. Are you sowing seed into the kingdom of God, or are you holding back? Are you saying essentially that, God, you know what? I need this more than you do, right? And I guess that's true. God doesn't need our time. God doesn't need our money, right? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing that God needs from us. That's not the point. But are you sowing into your own desires? Are you sowing into material possessions? Are you sowing into your comfort? Are you sowing into momentary pleasures? Have you taken what is God's, essentially, right? It can be the tithe of our money and our talent and our time, and sown it into your own life? or are you sowing it into the kingdom of God? 2 Corinthians 9:6 in the Message says this: remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting, right? I love that. The Message is so great because you think about that. When you come with your gift, when you come to the altar, when you come and sow into the kingdom of God, we come knowing that God has already told us what to give. So that I can't stand up here and say, you know, and start with an emotional plea, oh, Xander, you need to give, you know, and let me give you the story why, because then you feel like you're being compelled to give out of somebody else's desire and somebody else's need as opposed to what God is speaking to you already. Right? It says God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. So we want to make sure, again, that our hearts are aligned with God so much that our sowing into the kingdom of God is heart is God's desire. Does that make sense? Where it's not because it's a legalistic thing, but because your heart is so aligned with God's heart that you want to continue to sow into the kingdom of God. So to move on from money, how are you sowing your time? In the beginning of January, we talked about radical hospitality and what that looks like and how we invest our time in people. Are you sowing into other relationships? Are you spending time at home alone, or are you opening your home to others? Do you invite people to coffee? Do you take the time to sow life into other people? Now, this past Thursday night, our men got together. Men, whoop, whoop. We got to get you on the list, my brother. There you go. And what's great about what they did, outside of just talking about whatever men talk about, and I have to tell you, those that are gathered in that place, Tom doesn't tell me what you guys talk about. See, it is a safe place. So just keep that in mind. But I know the overarching things that you talked about, and you talked about how to make a difference, how to be a force for good, right? So they're looking how to take their skill sets and their passions and make a difference in the community and outside. They talked about, you know, feeding the hungry, and they talked about bringing kids that wouldn't normally fish, fishing, and speaking into their lives and being a positive force for good. This is awesome. That is that radical hospitality. And as you become involved in those things, you are sowing into the kingdom of God. You are sowing your time. Because you could do a whole lot of other things with your time. But if you choose to invest in other people, then God brings us harvest. So Jesus told stories to help us understand the concept. And they're all based in agriculture because back then, everybody lived in an agrarian society, right? They were either fishing or they were raising crops. And so we talked about sowing and reaping. And in Matthew 13, 24, he told another story. God's kingdom is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. Yes.
That your power.
This thing?
No, that.
Okay.
Colors running out of power.
It is? I hope not. Are you giving me power?
I fixing it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, buddy.
It's red, green, and yellow again.
Oh, thank you. Was it seeming like I was running out of power, Logan?
What happened to that? What happened to a light?
Are you following him, Elena?
It's motion activated.
Oh, the light. Yes, watch this. Okay, maybe not. The lights in here are motion active. If you walk underneath them, they turn on. So the more I move around up here, the lights will stay on. Okay. Can I keep talking? All right, awesome. Here we go. It didn't work, see? Maybe that one's out. So going back to Matthew 13, right? God's kingdom is like a farmer who planted good seed in a field. So you are the seed. All right, remember my story? The seed that's planted, right? He's planting you for a harvest of righteousness. He also said that unless a seed dies, it cannot yield a harvest. So what he's telling us is that we need to die to ourselves in order to see the harvest that God intends. Right? We had this whole thing in Galatians. He talks about sowing into the flesh or sowing into the spirit. We either sow into self or we sow into God and others. Our words, our actions, our attitudes reflect the beautiful transformation of knowing God and being known by Him. And you might be saying, really? Because I get it. In so many ways, I get it. You're overworked. Right? I'm overworked. I'm exhausted. Pastor Debbie, I'm flat out broke. I get it. And I'm just going to suggest two things. And the two things that I'm going to suggest to you are based on biblical principles. So I want you to just receive them. Even if you disagree with me, just hear me out, okay? Number one, priorities. All right? So if all of these things are a struggle for you, if your time is a struggle, the finances are a struggle, your attitude is a struggle, I'm going to ask you to just consider your priorities. Take some time and seek the Lord and see where your priorities are. Once our priorities are aligned with God's, then miraculous things happen. Once we start seeking God in how to spend our time, how to spend our money, how to spend, you know, invest in other people, amazing, miraculous things happen. There's margin. Who would like margin in their life? Financially, right? I would like margin in time. I would like margin financially. Everybody wants margin. And it comes from making God a priority first. You too? Time to invest in others, right? If we're seeking after God and saying, God, I need an opening. I need a window somehow to be able to do something. I want to pour into other people. I want to invest in the kingdom of God. How can I do it when I'm working 80 hours a week and I don't have a car? There's all these things that you might come up with, and yet if we seek God first, He's going to give you the answers. Once our finances begin with God first, miracles truly do happen. Miracles will happen in your finances if you put God first. Then you'll have financial margin, right? We did the whole financial peace thing in the beginning of the year because it's important to figure out how to create margin in your life. You might actually have that margin, or maybe even have savings, right? Praise the Lord. People want savings, some kind of security, and all the women say, amen. You might not even see this as the law of reaping and sowing, but it truly is. And I haven't even begun to tell you how to sow into your mind. What you're sowing into your mind will reap a harvest. The law is that there's sowing and there's reaping, and you have to be aware of what's going into your mind. What are you sowing into your relationships? What are you pouring into the relationships in your life? Are you sowing love and peace? Are you sowing discord? Because no matter what you are sowing, you will reap a harvest, depending on what you sow. It all falls under the same spiritual principle. So it's not a matter if you think you are sowing or not, right? That's deception. Everybody's sowing something. So recognize your life is one big field, waiting for the right seeds to be planted. It's best to take a little time right now. I'm going to ask you this week, do an inventory of your life. And you can start with a small seed of determination to make a change. And then one day reap a huge dividend of eternal reward from God. Right? An orchard comes inevitably from one seed. One seed plants the tree, plants the apples with multiple seeds. Until we are willing to die to self, until we are willing to sow something, the harvest cannot come. All right. So I know, and before you think I'm beating you up, I'm not. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I recognize that certain people have taken steps towards tithing, right? I commend you. When I know that it's really hard. Depending on your finances. And when I look and see people that I know have been struggling financially are sowing into the kingdom of God, are giving above and beyond what they would normally give, I'm like, yes! Because I know God is going to meet your needs. I know. I commend you. So keep going. Or maybe you've been committed to your small group, right? No matter how hard it's been, I've still been in my small group because I'm investing in my spiritual journey, right? Small groupers, you are investing your time into things that reap an eternal reward. Or maybe you've been committed to your Bible reading plan in the beginning of the year, right? Made some real strides as far as getting a hold of the New Testament. Making a point to being committed to your church family, being here on a regular basis so that you can encourage one another in the faith. Those are huge strides, and I want to continue to commend you. And maybe you've made a commitment to reaching out, getting outside of yourself. Anybody that was part of the Tangible Kingdom group, I want to learn how to reach out to other people and reach people that are on the journey so that they can be closer to God. So wonderful. Hang in there. Because my second point is this: don't give up. Don't give up. For those of you who have been living this faith journey faithfully for a long time and have yet to see the harvest that's been promised, don't give up. Right? What does Galatians 6:9 say? The end of it says, "For in due time you will reap a harvest." God's timing is God's timing. And so we don't want to give up. We hold fast because God's word is faithful. Come on up. I asked Tom to share a testimony today. I know his story a little bit. but when it comes... Not everything, but I know a lot of it. Let's put it that way. And I know, well, here's Tom. He'll share his story.
Hi, Tom. There we go. I have the good fortune of being a uncomplicated man. Right. I mean, do you like life simple? Yeah. Simple and uncomplicated, they're different things, but you know, life does not have to be complicated because it gets complicated. And so everybody's got your own, you know, a lot of people have their own, you've got your Bible verse, right? A lot of people have one that they just hang on to that just sticks with them, that resonates with them. Mine is Galatians 6:9. Has been for a long time. You know, she told you all of what it says and what it means, but I got to live it in my life. And you know, the quick story is that when we were living, I have my life in Ashby like split into two segments. One is at the old house, which has got a lot. It's when the kids were little, we were growing up, and it was a struggle. And then we have when we live at the other house, where you know life is better. You know, so. There was a point in my life where I was the world's number one expert in this really small thing. And I was crushing it. Nobody on the planet knew about what I knew better than I. And it was great. So I felt pretty good about myself. But the only problem was is that we weren't making any money doing it because I was ahead of the curve. You know, and people will catch up and they'll warm up. And at the same time, that's when God kept opening doors for, you know, what he currently, you know, most of you know that, like, I run Steeplecom, that's a company where we represent thousands of churches to put cell towers on their property. That's what I do for a living, that's my company. and going through all of this stuff, trying to make this all happen, really cool, I know all this stuff, I know it's going to work, and then I've got God over here going, duh, here's another door. Okay, I'll walk through this door, but I'm really killing it over here, and it's going to happen, and open. Then another door opens over here. But no, this is, I know it's going to work. And then at the same time, I've got the sheriff showing up in my driveway when my wife is teaching piano lessons because we need money to buy the groceries to give me papers that they're going to auction off our house. And I still have that letter. And then it came to a point, I remember the day, I remember where I was, and then I just said, I give. I'll do what you want. What I'm doing may be cool, but it's not working, and I am wise enough and uncomplicated enough to see that this door is opening, and obviously, God is in it. Obviously. So then we start from nothing. And then I keep working in the good soil. I keep fertilizing the good soil. I keep throwing seed in the good soil. And I'm getting goosebumps. And I'm happy to tell you that Galatians 6:9 has been there the whole time, encouraging me, going, go. Don't give up. Keep working. Don't give up. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And in due time, you will reap a harvest. And Debbie got a great text the other day from Cameron that, because Debbie and I were going to be married 25 years come the spring. And we're going to Italy. I'm taking my wife to Italy for our 25th wedding anniversary. If I kept going over here, never would have happened. And we got a text from Cameron saying that, because she's young enough to kind of, she was living it, but it was, hey, you're a kid, woo, it's all right, you know, we're macaroni and cheese again, you know, so it's all good. but she's learned enough, and she's listened enough, and she's observed enough to know that life, we went on the right path, and that she was proud of us for doing the work, not giving up, throwing the seed in the good soil to be in a position to go to Italy for a 25th wedding anniversary. So don't give up. Keep working. Keep going. Keep doing. Because in due time, you will reap a harvest.
Thank you, Annie. And let me add on top of that, too, that we, even when we had nothing, we committed to tithe. And so I understand when you're looking at the checkbook and you go, I can't possibly. You know what? You'd be amazed at what God can do if you step out in faith. And it wasn't always easy. You know, I think I started tithing before my husband because he just wasn't there yet. But as soon as we both got on the same page as far as tithing goes, God did miraculous things in our finances, because God can do more with that 90% than we can do with 100. I just want to encourage you in that. And that is the don't give up. Don't give up. Don't just keep doing the things that you know to be right, because God is faithful. Eternity begins today. Sometimes we think about our eternal reward in following Christ, and it's like, you know, when we go move on to glory. But I'm going to tell you right now, eternity starts today. Eternity starts today, right? If we know and we believe that Christ has made a way for us, has prepared a place for us, well, we still have now. Eternity begins today. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to begin. We begin the journey of transformation now. So we don't have to wait until we pass on from this life to begin to enjoy the blessings of a life lived for Christ, because eternity begins today. And so I just want to pray with you guys and give you opportunities to respond to different levels of prayer, because I know everybody's in different places in this place, and not one prayer is necessarily going to cover everybody. So the first thing that I want to say, invite for prayer. And if this is you, you can let me know and raise a hand and say, this is me. And maybe you're saying, you know what? I have been living my life for myself. I've been sowing an awful lot into my own things, and I know that God would have better for me. You know, there's a way to live life that's just better. God's way is better. And sometimes we think we know better, but God's way is better. And so maybe that's you. You've been sowing into the flesh. I've been living for myself, but I want to start a journey of sowing into the Spirit. I want to see what that can look like in my life, to begin this faith journey that I have been talking about, that this exciting adventure with God. And if that's you, we're going to pray with you today too. Is there anybody that said, this is me today? This is me. I represent this person that I just want to start really sowing into the Spirit today. Come on. And maybe today it's an increase in faith, right? I've been faithfully coming to church and I'm growing in my faith, but man, there are some areas in my life that I know that I have not surrendered to God yet. There's certain, maybe it's my language, maybe it's my TV habits, maybe it's, struggling with some things with the flesh, and maybe there's just some areas that really need to surrender to God. And if that's you, we're going to pray. And maybe there's somebody here like, okay, I've been doing all this stuff right, but I'm still believing for the miraculous. I want to see the miraculous in my life. I want to see God move in a mighty way because I know that God is a God of miracles. I've been praying, I've been seeking, I've been tithing, and yet I have yet to see the harvest. Well, we're going to pray for continued faith and perseverance if that's you. So if you would just join me in prayer as we continue to pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's in this room and in the sound of my voice. And that, God, you are doing a work even now. That, God, you are alive and moving. And your Holy Spirit, Lord, is speaking to hearts even now. So anyone that's in this place, God, that knows that they have been living with themselves as being first, and they want to get their priorities right. They want to put you first, God. I pray for them today, God, that in this moment they would seek after you in their hearts and maybe just quietly say to themselves, I choose you. God, for those that choose you today, I pray, God, that you bring those people around them to continue to encourage them and speak life, that they would see that this journey is going to start today, but only gets better. That, God, your way is better. And so, Lord, we just pray for those people, God, that their hearts would be open. If there is anyone in here, God, just have them speak those words. I choose you. And, Lord, if there are those that have been struggling with their faith, they want an increase of faith. They've been coming to church. They might be attending their small group. They've been beginning to read their Bible, but they really want an increase in faith, an increase to sow even greater measure to believe, God, the truths and the promises of your words. I pray for those people right now that their faith would be increased. Your word tells us, God, that we only need the faith the size of a mustard seed to be able to tell the mountain to move. And so, God, even this small seed of faith can be grown. And so anyone that has this small seed of faith that wants to see it blossom and grow, I pray for them today, oh God, as they seek you, that you would do a mighty work in their faith today, God, and it would take a jump forward. And God, for those people that have been faithful, knowing that the promises of your word that in due season there will be a harvest, and yet, Lord, they may be growing weary. And even though your word says that do not grow weary, sometimes, God, we grow weary. And so for those that are weary in the waiting, I pray, God, that you speak to their hearts today, God, and that you would encourage them to hold fast, that you are a God of miracles and you are going to do a miraculous thing in their lives. And so, God, we just thank you, O Lord, that you are this God of miracles, that you are a God of ever-increasing faith, that you are a God that calls us out of living for ourselves into a life that is filled with glory and wonder as we continue to serve you, the living God. So as we come to a close in this sermon series, God, of all these things of being free in Christ, I pray, God, that each one might just hold fast to what that freedom looks like in their lives, to surrender those things that are not of you, to get a hold of those things that you would have for us and move forward in power and might by your Holy Spirit, God, to greater levels with you, God. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. That we will see the harvest if we do not give up. And I thank you in God's mighty name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So grateful. So grateful for a God who answers yes. Yeah.
Hey, church, could everybody stand up and come make a circle around Pastor Debbie, please? We're going to ship her off with love and prayer.
Love and
Maria,
prayer.
Let's go. Step it up.